Like many agencies, the FBI has a potential insider threat program. It's proposing a new database with information on anyone with access to FBI buildings and information systems. The database could encompass not only employees, but also retirees, interns, contractors, and assignees from other agencies. That's too wide a net, and it threatens to gather too much information, according to my next guest. Jeremy Scott is National Security Counsel at the Electronic Privacy and Information Center. He joins me now with Epic's Concerns. Jeremy, good to have you back.
Thanks for having me on again.
So you have looked at this, it's only a proposal at this point, this FBI database. What did you see in there, and what are some of the concerns?
What we saw in there is basically an attempt to do away with the Privacy Act safeguards by exempting this particular database, the insider threat database, from the requirements of the Privacy Act, which will allow the FBI to kind of collect all kinds of data and do what they want with it without any type of protections. And what we think should happen, there needs to be some type of privacy protection set, because they're basically just collecting data on innocent people in order to try to find a threat.
Is there information that can go into this database without the Privacy Act, as opposed to some information that would be prohibited if they did follow the Privacy Act?
Well, there'd be certain safeguards basically in place for the information collection, whether it be making sure that the information is correct, for example. There's an accuracy requirement within the Privacy Act, and there's other requirements along those lines in terms of making sure that the information is not only accurate, but it's actually required for the purpose of the collection. And it's those type of things that without the safeguards kind of creates an unbounded collection with the FBI's insider threat program.
And what can they do with the information, again, without the safeguards in place, that they would not be able to do, do you think?
Well, you know, one thing is they just can collect a lot more information. Right, and they can keep it for as long as they deem necessary, and they don't have to worry about whether that information is actually accurate. So if you're looking for an insider threat and you're kind of collecting information on people and you don't care about the accuracy, well, then you might get information that points to people who are actually not a threat.
And so you have commented to the FBI, and I guess it's probably safe to say it's too soon to have any reaction back from them?
Yeah, this is correct. So as you mentioned, it's not a final rule. This is a proposed rule, and at some point they will publish the final rule. And in that final rule, they have to respond to any of the comments that they got when there was the kind of open period to make public comments. And then when that rule comes out, we'll look at it and see how they responded to our comments, whether they made any changes based on our comments, and decide where to go from there.
Now, the FBI, of course, is a creature of the Justice Department. Have you seen similar proposals, say, from Homeland Security or somewhere in the military on a similar type of database?
The Department of Homeland Security had their own insider threat program rulemaking proposed rule, as well as the Department of Defense had their own proposed rulemaking.
And did they also lack the privacy safeguards that you're seeking in the FBI?
Yes, all three rules, FBI, DHS, and DOD, basically proposed exempting themselves from the safeguards of the Privacy Act.
Almost as if they used a cookie cutter among them.
Very similar, but we see this, unfortunately, often when there's a creation of a new database of information. Often agencies will try to exempt themselves from some of the safeguards provided by the Privacy Act.
We're speaking with Jeremy Scott, National Security Counsel at the Electronic Privacy Information Center. I want to move on to another topic, too, to get an update from you on the lawsuit that you have against the Federal Aviation Administration over rules it is proposing on collecting drone information. And earlier, you were concerned about the privacy there enough to launch the lawsuit. What's happened since then, which I think was about 3 months ago?
In way of some background, so we had filed a petition back in 2012, immediately after Congress passed the act that required the FAA to implement drones into the national airspace. The FAA eventually responded to that petition in, I believe it was November in 2014, saying that they were not going to do a separate rulemaking on drone privacy as we asked, but they would consider privacy in the context of an upcoming drone rulemaking, which they did in the beginning of 2015. They did a small drone rulemaking, but in that small drone rulemaking, when they asked for public comments, they said that privacy was outside the scope of that rulemaking. So they basically kind of reneged on what they had said to us in the response to our petition and said they were no longer going to address privacy. And that, at that point, we initially filed suit, and the ruling by the D.C. Circuit in that case was that we had filed too early and we had to wait for the final rule to come out in the context of this small drone rulemaking. Now, that final rule came out earlier this year in the summertime, and once that final rule came out, we filed suit again against the FAA to try to force them to address privacy in the context of the integration of domestic drones. And at this point, we are actually waiting to schedule briefs. So we haven't done the briefs in this case yet, and we're waiting to do that. And since briefs haven't been done, we haven't done oral argument or anything like that. But in the meantime, during our research, we ran across a requirement in the Consolidated Appropriations Act of 2014, which provides funding for the agency for the FAA to do a drone privacy report. And it was part of what's called an explanatory statement, which is actually a statement that is connected to the bill, and it provides basically congressional intent for the appropriated funds. And when the House and Senate, you know, vote on the bill, they're also voting on the explanatory statement. So a vote for the bill is a vote for the statement, right? And in that statement, they specifically said that the FAA was to conduct a study on the implications of drones in the national airspace on individual privacy, and that this report was supposed to be done before any final regulations. Right, and it was supposed to be submitted to Congress with an 18-month enacted bill.
They've put the cart before the horse.
They did just that, correct. So they never, the documents we received, which we received some emails, showed they potentially started looking at the report, but they never finished it, and they seemed to have no intent of actually doing the report because they pointed to the presidential memorandum on promoting economic competitiveness while safeguarding privacy and civil rights and civil liberties and with respect to domestic drones, and the National Telecommunications and Information Administration process, which they did a multi-stakeholder process to come up with voluntary safeguards, which is not the same as doing a report on the privacy risk of drones and the current law and saying what the FAA can actually do about it, which is what Congress had asked them to do, required them to do.
You have more ammunition then for the lawsuit, but at this point, still preparing briefs.
Yeah, we're still, you know, waiting to schedule when briefs will be due. But this does lend kind of support for our argument that a comprehensive plan, which was required by Congress to do the integration of drones into domestic airspace, requires addressing privacy. And Congress specifically later on asked what the FAA could do about the privacy risk of drones and wanted them to specifically report to them on it.
Jeremy Scott is National Security Counsel at the Electronic Privacy Information Center. As always, thanks for that update.
And thanks for having me on.
Read more about the Threat Insider database and find this interview at federalnewsradio.com/Federal Drive.